Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Okay, listeners, you've probably heard, at least heard, of a Netflix series called Bridgerton. Hugely popular, it was released on Christmas Day, and as of the beginning of January, it was Netflix's fifth largest original series launch of all time, reaching its top 10 rankings in 76 countries. Julie Andrews voices the series' mysterious narrator, who writes a gossip column that rules high society in turn of the century, 19th century Britain. The show is steamy. It's based on Julia Quinn's romance novels and features main characters dressed in sumptuous period pieces. But there are a lot of genre-bending nods. The cast is multiracial. It's not a colorblind cast, a multiracial cast. The soundtrack is clever. While members of high society are dancing at balls to chamber music that sounds familiar, that's because they're reimagined string versions of songs like Ariana Grande's Thank You Next. The series is the first produced by TV mastermind Shonda Rhimes as a part of her enormous Netflix deal. Intrigued? Well, so are we, which is why we are launching a new series called Watch Party. Think of it as a book club, but for TV. And the first show we're all going to watch together is Bridgerton. And it seems like our timing's pretty good. It was announced just yesterday that Netflix has greenlit a second season of the series. So we'll all catch up with the show. We discuss it on Monday with NPR's Aisha Harris, and we'll take your calls about what you loved or didn't like about the series. Now, to set up our viewing a little bit, we are welcoming Salamisha Tillett. She's a contributing critic at large for The New York Times and is also the Henry Rutgers Professor of African-American Studies and Creative Writing at Rutgers University, Newark. Salamisha, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So what was most, you've written about the series, I should say, what was most striking to you about the series when you first started watching it?
Well, I think one of the things that was really interesting, and you already talked about this, was the way in which it blends old and new, right? So there's a lot of parts of the show in terms of the costuming and the setting that reminds us of other British period dramas. But then you'll have these kind of renditions of hip-hop songs or pop songs done, even though it's set in the early 19th century. So this movement between past and present was really quite telling. And then also just, it is quite beautiful. I mean, everything from the trees and the gardens to the quite beautiful corset dresses that the characters are wearing. And then also just like, you know, the debonair Duke, who also stands out amongst many as quite beautiful. I mean, there's all these things that are going on at once that are quite titillating, so to speak, to the eye.
What does this series, what did you think about the sort of feminism of the series? Because at the heart of it is this wealthy woman, young woman, and all these wealthy young women are seeking to be married because that's basically their job.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the challenges I think that the show is trying to explore, you know, even as elite and as wealthy and aristocratic as these women are, that their identities are still defined by their father, or in the case of Daphne, her brother, and then her husband. And so we're seeing individuals navigate these worlds despite the wealth and access they have. You know, one of my not about Bridgerton, but one of my favorite things about Henry James novels is always that he kind of gives women all this wealth. And then you can in some ways see how the limits of sexism still define women's mm-hmm. identity despite the wealth. And so that's what you see in Bridgerton, too, that they're trying to come into their own, and yet they are pushed up against these limits. And then Daphne in particular is just such a naive character. She knows so little about her own sexual identity and has so little sexual agency at the beginning of the season. And so by the end, we see her go through this arc of learning and understanding sexual desire, but it still has to be within the confines of her marriage to the Duke.
I mentioned about the multiracial cast. Queen Charlotte is in Bridgerton. She's a ruling queen. And some historians have argued that she was descended from Portuguese royal family with African ancestry. This all came up when Meghan Markle married Prince Harry. Mm-hmm. And it's only commented on directly about halfway through the series. The queen mm-hmm. says, no, Lady Danbury, who is black, says, "We were two separate societies divided by color until a king fell in love with one of us. Look at everything it is doing for us, allowing us to become. Love, your grace conquers all." What did this moment do for you when you were watching this series?
Well, I'm one of those people who've watched every single Shonda Rhimes television show, meaning ones that no one even knows about, right? Like, I think I was like the only one watching Still Cross on ABC that was set in kind of Elizabethan England. And so, and that was also a multiracial class and also a period drama. But I think that so in some ways, this is very much in the legacy of all of Shonda Rhimes' shows, where interracial friendships, interracial romances, and oftentimes interracial families are part of how she imagines the world in America. So that's one thing I want to point out, that it's both familiar, mm-hmm. But it's also foreign to us because we don't actually see a lot of British period dramas that treat the characters as equals. This is probably one of the few times that we see black characters that are in England in the early 19th century, in which slavery is neither a topic nor a condition that black people find themselves in. So not a topic to organize around, nor a condition that the black characters find themselves in. So that's unique. But it was also kind of weird because I didn't, you know, on one hand, you know, we know that the show deliberately wanted to tell a different story about that time period and use Queen Charlotte's potential mixed-race ancestry as a way to think about a new society and one in which she kind of gives power to other black people in the royal court at that time. So that's kind of what the show's doing. But at the same time, it was weird, I thought, because the only people who seemed to understand that there was race were the black people. And so I thought that was like, how is that possible? Like, how is it that they're the only ones who see difference in this particular way? So that's another part of the show that I thought was fascinating, and I'm curious how they intend to build on that in the next season, but I don't know if they will or not.
My guest is Salamisha Tillett. We're talking about Bridgerton. This is our first TV series we're going to watch together as part of an All of It watch party. So for someone who is just hearing about this, you know, it's been a crazy couple of weeks. People really haven't had a time to just sit down and have a guilty pleasure and enjoy something. What are some of the things that you think people should keep their eyes open for as they watch the series?
Well, one, we talked about the way in which Daphne's sexuality is portrayed, but I don't want to give away too much, so I won't. But also, there are aspects of it that really do kind of push what we're used to in terms of how we think of, let's say, contraception, how mm-hmm. we think of sexual pleasure. And so watching Daphne's development into becoming a woman who understands her own pleasure is really interesting to see. I also think, like, Lady Danbury is one of the most interesting and yet unexplored characters mm-hmm. on the show. And so I was just curious, what is her backstory? Like, we understand how the Duke becomes the Duke, but who is this woman who appears in the court as if she's always belonged there? And she's, unlike Queen Charlotte, who seems to be sort of complicated and upset all the time, Danbury seems to have made her way into the world on her own terms. And so I would love for people to pay attention to her, and then also for season two to explore her even more. I just read an interview and she talks about she hopes to have a love interest in season two. So I hope they depart from the book and give her more agency in that way. And then the third thing is the arrival of the Duke of Hastings. He's such a delightful character mm-hmm. to watch, but also the way in which the show uses color in terms of costuming. He's always in red, or the family that is represents kind of new money in the in this royal world always are dressed in yellow and bright colors. So costuming is really important, as well as the way in which race is done differently in this series.
I also like about this series that, for the most part, they're not household names, the actors. For me, it's very helpful to be able to be transported, because I'm not thinking, oh, Lady Danbury, that could have been Felicia Rashad quite easily. But
yeah,
it's not,
for
you know?
Us, yes. No, it's true. But I watch a lot of British shows, and so I've been like seeing them in other moments, and I'm like, oh, that's Lady Danbury. Okay, now I understand. So I think if we were if we watched more maybe British television or attended more British theater, we would be able to see who these people are. But for the American audience, it's very new. So I think that's why it's also so effective.
Salamisha Tillett has been our guest, helping set us up to watch Bridgerton over the weekend. Salamisha, thanks for joining us.
Yes, enjoy. Thank you.